Jerzy Dudek, goalkeeper and wobbly kneed penalty shootout hero. Played for Liverpool, Feyenoord, Real Madrid, won La Liga, the FA Cup, the Eredivisie, and of course the Champions League. 60 caps for Poland, starred in the film Tips for Cheating in the memorable role of golf player. It didn't get a release outside of Poland. And of course, author, but let's see what the book club thought in today's The Football Book Club.
As a baby, he fell out of a pram when his brother got scared by a goose.
I did one of those 23andMe things. I'm 97% from Stoke.
Because I think Tim Sherwood even now thinks, I'm going to go to Barcelona and win La Liga.
Keep playing Shawaddy Waddy. Hello and welcome to the Football Book Club, the only book club where instead of reading literary classics, each week we read yet another obscure footballer's autobiography. Less Jane Austen, more Charlie Austen. I'm James Bugg, and over the weeks we'll be reading such classics as Kevin Phillips, strikingly different, Neil Redfern's, there's only one Neil Redfern, and Nobby Solano's Blowing My Own Trumpet. Generally the name of the book. But today we're going to be reading Jerzy Dudek's A Big Pole in Our Goal. And reading it with me, I'm joined by our book group of comedy writers, Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
James Balgin.
Hi.
And introducing Natasha Daniels.
Hello.
How is it? Are you going to clap there,
I was going to clap. But...
okay.
Oh, thanks.
Does that sound good?
Is that,
that sounds worse. Two claps sounds worse than loads of claps.
One clap's okay?
One clap's fine.
One clap
Thank
for Natasha.
Thank you very much.
How is everyone doing?
Really good.
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 Mm-hmm. Natasha, how do you feel to be wasting the next 11 weeks of your life reading football books?
I mean, it's an unexpected turn, I won't lie, but you know, you never know what's around the corner.
I just found you outside the studio.
You did, holding Jerzy Dudek's book.
Finally, someone.
She's the one.
Genuinely, didn't you say you were like, do you like football?
No, I had a sticker on my laptop and he came over and said,
of Jerzy Dudek.
Of Clapton CFC.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, that
I'm
is
always on
happens.
The lookout for new panelists. So you guys better watch your backs.
Yeah, look, we know.
How do we find the book? Do we enjoy it?
I cannot remember it. Oh. And I've read it twice.
That good, huh?
I do completely know what you mean. Legitimately, it falls out your head very easily, this one.
Yeah.
It's weird. My friend described the Bourne movies like that. So you watch the Bourne movies and you're like, wow, this is great. And then people are like, what happened in the Bourne movies? And I can't tell you what happened
in the Bourne
movies.
Yeah, it's like eating a kebab after a night out. I know it was really good, but I can't remember it.
Interesting. Isn't the plot of the Bourne movies that Jason Bourne can't remember things either?
Yeah. I mean, it might be. I can't tell at this point.
James, as a Liverpool fan, obviously I'm going to be coming to you a lot for direct Jerzy Dudek memories. Do you love the guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think no matter what was in this book, I'm always just going to be like, oh, Jerzy.
Anything.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, he's a hero, isn't he, for life?
He is.
2005.
Yeah. Well, for you guys, I mean.
He's adored.
For me, he's like, yeah. Well,
yeah. You know. But I like him.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He's the wobbly legs icon. Everyone remembers him for that, right?
I was thinking over our winter break we've had.
Oh, yeah?
Are there any footballers' books that you really... any footballers who haven't written autobiographies you really would like to read?
Oh, God.
Anyone you wish could kind of write a book? Because I was thinking, one person that amazes me has never written a book. Tim Sherwood.
Oh, I would like to read Tim Sherwood's
Tim
book.
Sherwood... It beggars belief that he hasn't written a book.
Is this you pitching to ghostwrite it?
Well, I can do. It wasn't going to be, but I think if...
it feels like it'd be very easy to write.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think that's why he hasn't. He's waiting, because I think Tim Sherwood even now thinks, I'm going to go to Barcelona and win La Liga. he's waiting for that. He's
to
still
be fair, we all thought Gary Monk wrote it too soon. Maybe Tim Sherwood... That is very true. Maybe Tim Sherwood definitely has a career.
He's waiting.
All right, well, I'm setting him a time frame.
Yeah.
Tim, if you haven't written an autobiography, by the end of the series, we're going to do it for you. Okay?
Yeah, I like that idea.
Okay, end of season special.
Let's head over to our best friends at Amazon to see what the reviews are saying. The book has 4.5 stars on Amazon from 12 reviews.
4.5 stars on average after I've read it twice. I do not trust those Amazon reviews one bit.
Well, here is a book. Actually, interesting you say that, because I've got a review from a friend of the show, Basel Boy. Do you remember Basel Boy?
I do remember Basel Boy.
One of the reviews on the... So we reviewed Louis Saha's book, and he wrote a review under the title, "But some of his insight is good." And he's back with another 3-star review. He obviously likes football biographies, this guy. He said about Jerzy, under the review title, "But some good memories."
But.
It doesn't say but.
Not like B, like a great.
Hmm?
Like B.
No. B-U. BU. Okay. He missed the T. He forgot to write the
okay.
T.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming. And the review is, don't think he has enough to say to fill a book, to be honest. But some good memories.
But, so,
he repeated the misspelling mistake twice.
He does this all the time. It's hard. It's the review.
Maybe
is,
the T's stuck on his keyboard. Let's leave.
Well, oh, I thought that. I mean, he has got the T's in don't and think.
Yeah. Oh.
He's done his research.
Okay.
He has. And
James has done his research.
Also, why does he start all of his reviews with but?
Just, I think he might be a. I was going to say he's a serial killer, but I can't say that.
Cut that bit now. I can't look into his purchase history, so maybe he has bought like.
Been thinking about we probably shouldn't be looking into his purchase history.
Well, tough. He's been sensible enough to make his private.
Ooh.
Okay, guys.
Hang on, it's public? What?
You can, yeah. Everything you do goes public.
Oh, God.
Sorry to say this, Tash. Are you Basel boy? Okay, we're going to go into more depth about the book as we go. We're going to do a dramatic reading, a quiz at the end, and the world's foremost redundant football chant writer is back after the winter break. Ken is going to be, not here, but he sent me a chant.
That's such a cruel way to describe.
He's not redundant, but the chants he does are redundant.
The way you said
they're
it.
They're the players who have always retired. But first, let's go around the group and see if you guys agree with Basel Boy. What did you think of the book? Tash, as you're the newbie to the show, what did you think
signing.
First?
If I was going to star it, I'd maybe give it 2.5.
Ooh.
He,
well, actually, we do what? Our ratings at the end of the podcast.
Oh, spoiler.
But hey, look, you wouldn't
spoiler.
Know that. You
spoiler.
Wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. Who knows?
But, I don't know. I think his stories before he plays football are much more interesting than his stories when he's playing football.
Which is bad for a guy who's like 20 years of his life has been being a footballer.
Yeah, I know, but like his early years were mad.
Yes.
Yeah. He nearly died about 27 times. It was amazing. He was headbutting everything.
He could have been a great like author or storyteller if only he hadn't played football.
Yeah. Exactly.
Literary, football's gain is literature's loss.
Yeah. I mean, my two takeaways that I've written down were that he loves a bus and he loves an exclamation mark.
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely loves, yeah. He's, very
I've
true.
Never heard anyone love a bus more than him.
He does love buses. Should
he we described it at one point as like a fairy tale. The first time he went on
the first time he went on the bus was a fairy tale.
Yeah.
And he said that they play for the bus. The team loved the bus so much that they played for the bus.
Oh, what, to try?
Because they
and
knew if they lost, they'd get the bus taken away.
You're walking home, kids. This is when they were kids. So weird.
Wow. Jack, you enjoyed it?
I did. I share Tasha's problem. I can't remember it. A lot of it. I don't feel like I have a sense of the man. He sounds like someone doing an impression of an autobiography sometimes.
Yeah, it's like they've downloaded it and then they've control F'd the name.
Okay.
Yeah. Find and replace.
That was so weird.
Apart from the beginning, which is mad, and I recommend everyone read.
I didn't believe it when he played for England 21s all those years. And then married Posh Boy.
Yeah. It's so odd.
Yeah. Very weird.
I felt like his, I mean, on the front cover, he's sort of smiling and quite,
what do we think of the cover?
Well, it's wearing like jeans and a shoe and then a shirt, but then massive white gloves. Like his hands can't beat the scale.
As in like Michael Jackson white gloves or like,
I mean,
like they might be gardening. Genuinely might be gardening gloves.
It has a look of it that he's had a meeting with the publishers and they've just said, oh, why don't we just get a picture of you like pretending you're in goal against the wall and then they've used it for the cover. He doesn't look comfortable with it,
and
does he?
They've drawn like things around it. Like they've drawn a sign saying we won it 5 times and like a picture of a man in a goal and like YNWA and also a chant that just says duh 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 duh, which is, I mean, it's the kind of thing that you find at a crime scene. Genuinely, you find a dead body with all this stuff. It's so weird. And there'd be like a man going, wow, what are the connections here? It's so bizarre.
Do you remember, because the name of the book, A Big Part in Our Goal, James, is a chant about Dudek, wasn't it, apparently?
I don't
recall
it.
You don't remember it either?
No, but Makes sense.
He's made that up. They were all singing it.
There's a bit in that genuinely, it's really nice because he'll talk about like, oh, you're the big pole in our goal, some of the managers. And then sometimes one manager said to him, you weren't like a pole in the goal, you were like a pole in the goal, meaning a metal pole.
Yeah. The best quip. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, you know.
That's a double.
Great, you've blown the
amazing.
Funniest bit of the book.
A minute in.
Anyway, let's get into this bizarre book. It's the way the book works. I mean, not how books in general work, how this one works. A lot of words on pages. The book works. It's written with a Polish translator. Mm-hmm. A guy who translated it from Polish to English. He breaks it up into a lot of subdivisions throughout, a bit like the Jermaine Pennant book we wrote, yeah. read, but it makes sense.
and also like Jermaine Pennant's book, there's also a lot of like
insight.
His, yeah, or also other people talking.
Yeah, exactly.
So like
yeah,
his wife, his mother, his
agent. Yeah, I quite like those bits.
They are good, but they seem to go away. Like they happen a lot at the start, and then like they just nothing happens for the whole book. And then right at the end, his wife comes back and is like, "I wish my husband was around more."
his poor wife, man. We need to get onto that.
Yeah,
later.
We do. Again, another football biography where barely mentioned.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah.
I was gonna say. Also, some of the divisions it's broken down into. I've got a couple of favourites. Dutch Disneyland.
Yeah, that's
despite
a good one.
Never mentioning Disneyland in the chapter, or there being Disneyland in Holland. I looked it up. the next one, my favourite one was Van Gogh Takes It Too Far, which sounds like a jazz album. Yeah.
I quite liked From Calamity to Cardiff.
Oh, that
was
nice.
A good one.
Some of his subheadings were brilliant. Were
They're
probably my
poetic.
Favourite thing about the book. He's later on, they start sounding like Black Mirror episodes. This one, especially 50 million zlotys for a wedding.
they do sound like a game show.
Yes,
kind of vibes.
That sounds like a Sky program.
Yeah, 50 million zlotys for a wedding. Another one that was quite ominous was a brick in the head.
There's lots of head injuries in this.
Oh, there are. Well, let's injuries. Get into that because Young Jersey, as you mentioned at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Natasha, the book starts off with him talking about when he's young, and it is basically just a list of all the ways he almost died.
What we should run him down. What have we got? We got
burnt by a coffee.
Horribly burnt as a coffee. Where his
as a coffee. When
as a coffee. When he was a coffee.
When he was a young coffee.
When he was a young coffee. He was a child.
Yeah.
And he like pulled a saucer down.
Yeah. Yes. And got covered in coffee.
What happens is basically he. He knocks a saucer down and he pours coffee all over himself.
Yeah, as a child. And it's boiling hot coffee.
His mum recreates
really
the whole story.
It's really harrowing.
For ages. And
the best
The moral
sentence.
Of the story. Yeah. And since that time, all those years ago, I haven't had a single saucer in my home.
That's not the solution.
If anything, saucers make it less likely to happen.
Just don't leave hot drinks around your baby.
Two pages later, someone else gets scolded by a coffee. I don't know what they're doing in that.
His brother, right?
And then also he'll be like, oh yeah, and then also there was the time I shoved my brother over and like banged his head and like there was blood everywhere. There was a time I shoved a girl over in the playground. It knocked into another boy. Then like a series of children in a domino effect all fell over.
And but at both ends, it's a girl. So he injures two girls the most by pushing a girl. It's
Every single time he does one of these, he punctuates it by going, "That's just what happens in Poland." What the hell?
I think it might not be Jersey. As a baby, he fell out of a pram when his brother got scared by a goose.
Doesn't he almost drown trying to fish for cuttlefish?
Yep.
Yeah.
By a mine.
Yeah, by a mine.
He got anemia because someone told him it would make him a good footballer if he didn't eat.
Oh my God, that's one of my favourite bits of the whole book, is where he's like, I was so professional. The coach said to me, don't eat before a match. So I didn't eat for a day. And you're like, what the hell is wrong with you, Jersey? You should eat. Professional people eat, Jersey. He steals tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, nearly gets caught by the Russian secret police.
Wait, does he?
Yeah. This is what I mean. There are so many weird bits of this book.
He nearly gets thrown in prison when he headbutts a window on a train.
He headbutts a window on a train.
That is true. He's a little bit older there, isn't he?
He
headbutts a cat, like a sleeper's carriage or something, and smashes it open his head.
Someone does throw a brick at his head.
Well, yeah, and also he gets hit by they kind of escalate. He's talking about all the scrapes he gets in at school.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'd occasionally fall over or get pushed over. Or a kid hit me with a concrete block. He is a bit of a prankster, so it doesn't surprise me it's these scrapes. But does anyone remember the name of the book that he could have written, which I'm very disappointed he didn't write?
I wrote it down. He could easily write.
Yeah.
The Guide of the Menace, How to Disrupt an Adult's Life.
Yeah. Great title.
Everybody wants that.
It sounds like a Polish translation of Home Alone.
Really, if we wanted to cause any pain to anyone, he'd just put a saucer down
yeah.
on the floor put a somewhere. Saucer,
shove that person
and
over.
Waited for nature to take its course. So he goes off to Feyenoord, Dutch football, where he gets his big break. Seems pretty good in Feyenoord. He has a great time.
He's very surprised that he's there.
Yes, yeah, and that's when he takes the bus that you love so much.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what he does love, more than buses, hotel reviews.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the book, he reviews so many hotels.
I was going to propose a spin-off that we did like a video series reviewing the hotels that he goes to, because the descriptions are amazing.
He does. Yeah, go to the hotels he goes to.
Yeah.
I'd love to go to the one he goes to in Kazakhstan.
Yes.
He says, I have never slept in such a modern and beautiful hotel. A round building, half of which was made of glass, allowing you to see everyone who came in and out. That says more about Jersey than the hotel.
Yeah.
But then
I must know who is entering and exiting this hotel at all times.
But he goes back and forth throughout it. It is as though we need to know. I think that is the thing. I kind of agree with Basel Boy, which I never thought I was going to say. In that he hasn't got that many stories because he does devote a lot of pages to reviewing hotels.
He
goes to Athens. We stayed in what was supposedly a 5-star hotel, but unfortunately, I'd say it was rather 3 stars at best.
Whoa.
Which isn't that bad. 3 stars is not like a terrible hotel.
Is that the one with the...
With Pepe Reina.
Yeah.
The best description, he goes, our bathroom was so small, it is hilarious. Our bathroom was so small that Pepe had to sit on the toilet with his legs pointed diagonally. So that he could close the bathroom door. If he sat normally, he would have his legs sticking out into the bedroom. And although we're good friends, there's some things you don't want to see. How do you remember this so well 15 years later?
He has such a weird memory for like football matches and also, as you say, hotels.
Well, on one page, he literally details out in bullet points the exact time and of the day that they did everything. So 17:35, walk down to dressing room. 18:15, a trip to the city centre. 18:45. A reception from the Met, and it goes on and on and on.
The last review I had, it was only because it's got the greatest ever run of sentences I think I've read in a book before. it was average at best. I've stayed in better rooms when travelling away. I think it's in Moscow. The waiters bizarrely sliced everything up. Everything. Even the fruit. So our doctor went out to buy some more, but the waiter sliced all that up too. Why won't he eat sliced fruit?
But also, why are these waiters like rummaging in people's bags and taking things out and slicing them?
Very
it's
strange.
Hospitality. I don't think that's that weird.
Then
hang on. Wait a second. I need to know how weird you find this, because
if I got to a hotel and I'd bought some fruit and I got to my hotel room and someone had sliced it up, I'd be like, man, this is a fancy hotel.
Yeah, I agree.
I would immediately start packing.
What?
Yeah, it's a bit much. It's like it's when someone takes, like, I'll take your coat for you, but then someone just goes, I'll slice that food for you. So you're like, oh, why?
I'll slice your coat for you.
Yeah, I'll slice that coat up for you. But like if you had a baguette, let's say you have a baguette,
right.
You go out your hotel room, you come back 15 minutes later, it's been perfectly sliced up. What do you do?
Yeah, okay, that's weird.
These are the kind of questions you have to expect on this podcast.
I have a slight like detour that you will enjoy.
Please.
So once I interviewed Zlatan, right?
Oh, that's going to impress us. Oh, you think that's it?
Anyway.
Zlatan who?
Don't say that to him, trust me.
Oh, God. Sorry, Zlatan.
And we stayed in this really swanky hotel, and I left my suitcase, and then I went up to my room, and they'd unpacked all my clothes. No. Ironed some of them, because I don't iron any of my clothes. They'd all been ironed. It was amazing.
No.
And then I was like, what went on? Like, do I have to pay for this or anything? And apparently, that's what he has.
That's what he did.
He doesn't.
But he has that in all of his hotel rooms. So they'd been through all my bag and they'd hung my clothes up because that's what he requests. So insider knowledge for you there, Zlatan gets someone to do his ironing when he gets, and they do his washing as well. When he gets to a hotel, he takes dirty washing.
Do you think Zlatan slices his bread?
Does he like his fruit slice?
Yeah. But I reckon that's a footballer thing and Jersey just didn't know it yet.
No.
This is at the end of his career.
This is right at the end of his career.
Yeah.
I could really get my fruit sliced the whole time.
All those years of fruit slicing I've missed out on.
After he gets his fruit sliced, so there's a mystery voice from a girl.
Oh my God. I love that so much.
From a man, it says, do you want a girl? I was shocked. No, I don't want a girl. I replied and hung up. About 1:30, he rang again. Hello, do you want a girl? I still don't want a girl. I really don't. I want to sleep. I wasn't very well the following day as I discovered salmon doesn't agree with me. I don't eat it now, but they served it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner in Moscow. Unconnected.
I'm glad they're not connected. Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's a secret ladies man because he still dreams about his physics teacher.
Oh yeah, weird. As an 11-year-old, I used to do physics.
Sexy just because, physics teacher.
Yeah.
I don't remember the physics, but I do remember her being physical.
And he's like, I never told her this, but she's probably reading it now. I was like, that's disgusting. Imagine if you were a physics teacher and you're like, oh, I used to teach you as a dude. I can't read his autobiography.
Oh, come on. Like,
what the hell?
Like, you wouldn't write a book just to confess all your previous.
Chapter one, here are all the people I've had a crush on.
But he also goes back to his school, so maybe that's the reason. He says it earlier, and I was thinking, why? Yeah. He's like, every time I go back to my school, they're so warm. Why are you going back to your primary school in Poland?
The teacher avoids me. It's really weird.
Yeah. Every time that same kid turns up with a concrete block, whacks him over the head. How do you like them sliced apples? I also, from his fine odd time, found a guy who I think we could enter into the Hall of Shame.
That was good.
That was good. Occasionally,
we started with McAteer, right? We find someone who has caused so much damn trouble to our hero that we have no choice but to put them in the Hall of Shame. I'm going to put forward Edwin Zotterbeier.
Zotterbeier is good. That's a really good...
Is that how you pronounce his name? Maybe. They signed him from Sunderland. He was arrogant. He makes fun of Jersey when they're practicing free kicks. And as Jersey himself said, Rotterdam is a city of people who don't like clever dicks. And that went in my favour. But it was a circus working with him.
Oh, my God. But have you talked about how he says, in the end, I confronted him. I know your problem, but I do not care. And then I look towards the sky to ignore him whenever he tries to talk to me. That is the exact opposite of a confrontation.
Just staring up in the air.
I know what your problem is. I don't care. Jersey, look at me. Look at me. Look at me, Jersey. Look at me. This is not a fight. We're not having a fight right now, Jersey.
You'd think after all his practice, he'd be well up for a little scrap.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he'd
with
be great.
With little Dutch bloke.
He put the Dutch player up there and then have like a series of Dutch players behind him to line them up, shove them over, a bunch of dominoes falling down.
I love how you say little Dutch bloke, which statistically, Dutch people are the tallest people in the world. And he's a goalkeeper. Yeah. Presumably, he's a giant.
a little giant. What of it?
I'm firmly Team Dudek now, so I'm,
you know. Yeah, true. He would have you, Edwin.
Oh yeah.
Anyone else you thought could be the hero, the zero of the book?
Well, he has a very weird relationship with Rafa Benitez, which I'm sure we'll come on to.
Yeah, he does.
He has a very odd, which I want to talk about deeply because to me it's very much like it's almost like a kitchen sink drama, really, between Rafa Benitez and him. So almost like a Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor vibes that they have.
Yeah. Sure.
And really, they're like, they're fiery fighting all the time.
But you know, in the dressing room, they were like...
making out.
Oh, yeah. So angry. And all the other players are watching, being like, wow. And then
they've got such chemistry.
Yeah.
There's a guy called Pavel Janus who left him out of the World Cup squad without telling him.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't like that.
And also, I was going to
I didn't like that. I found that quite upsetting.
That was quite upsetting.
Yeah. But I also thought Jerzy loves calling people out as well at times.
Yeah.
Like, he calls Luzi.
Luzi.
Patrice Luzi, is that his name? Yeah. Play for Liverpool and goal. He calls him a bad apple.
Yeah.
Oh, but, yeah.
And he loves saying how Casillas called Fernando Torres the most overpriced footballer in Spanish history.
That's a little staring.
I wouldn't be happy. Yeah, exactly. I thought, I'm going to put Jersey in the Hall of Shame.
He's our hero.
He has a midpoint switch.
Yeah.
I like him until he's about 23, and then he's
then he gets work. The troublesome teens are pretty good.
And then suddenly he goes wet. Well, also there's Gerard Houllier, who does actually have, like, apparently after his
heart attack,
has like a complete personality switch and becomes really paranoid.
That's true. So maybe that's they gave him someone else's heart.
Yeah. That's how that works. Yeah,
that's how it works. Maybe they gave him Edwin Zotterbeier's heart,
who was killed in a horrible domino accident.
anything else we want to bring up from Holland?
When he is made Player of the Year,
his
ceremony. When he's at the Player of the Year.
It's insane, isn't it?
It's one of my favourite things I've ever heard.
This is when he wins De Golden Schoen, which is...
you're very good at Dutch.
Yeah, it means the golden soup. And he's... it's for De Telegraaf, the Dutch paper, and it's about the best player in the Eredivisie. And you're right, the ceremony is mad.
It's one of my favourite things. He says he was nervous beforehand, so he drank a bottle of wine with a couple of players, and then the director of the show suddenly asked me to come backstage and told me to get into a plane on a rail. He told me to hold tight and explained what would happen. It reminded me of a presentation. The plane broke through a paper decoration and took me onto the stage in front of 800 people. The lights were so bright that I realised why rock stars wear sunglasses. And then they said,
I read it as though like he has to walk out with his arms stretched out pretending he's a plane. He's on like a fake plane.
They told me to get into a plane. I think on a rail. I think he's sitting there and they push him. They push like a little mini plane.
This bit so fast and I'm so upset. Mental image.
It did stand out as being, and it gets weirder.
It gets much weirder. But sounds like a dream. It genuinely sounds like a dream.
It could have been a dream.
He then says, the show began with me center stage and I said, we have a message for you. It looks like you received a letter, but we don't know who wrote it. Do you want to read it? Which is crazy.
Edwin Zotterbier.
He falters as he reads it in Dutch, but then I felt more and more proud with every word as I began to realise who the letter was from. The Pope!
Pope John Paul.
What is happening?
I know, it's so strange.
I mean, we've talked a lot about how he had quite a few head injuries. Do you think this actually happened?
It's like Stars in Their Eyes. You know, what's that show called?
What's that show where they put people in planes, push them through the paper, and then give them a letter from the Pope?
What is that phone call?
What's that phone call?
No, the thing with when you have the book, This Is Your Life. This is your life. Yeah, do you recognise this voice? Oh, it's the Pope.
He does have a relationship with the Pope, though. Like,
he does, and that is, he loves the Pope.
Do you know, a lot of Polish people love the Pope because...
John Paul II, who was the Pope at the time.
Right, okay. Yeah.
He talks about how he was playing in goal at one point and he couldn't focus on the match because John Paul had just died.
Yeah.
And he was like, which is really sweet, but really weird. Like,
it is quite weird because he got married and then went to play, and that didn't bother him one iota.
Yeah, yeah, he was like, that's fine.
Yeah,
yeah, but the Pope
comes into the equation. Yeah. My wife's good, but she's not.
Yeah, I don't really understand that bit why they arranged their wedding when he had a game.
Like, yeah, I know.
He had to fly
so
at 8 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah, he had to fly to Brazil.
But he leaves the night of the wedding, doesn't he?
Oh, that was our honeymoon. Both of us in tears because I had to leave. It's like, Jesus Christ. What a honeymoon. What a party.
And she sliced everything. The cake. Oh,
this isn't a Russian hotel.
I pick up all three tears and just shove it in my mouth. Okay. But the Pope is—he loves the Pope. I'm not sure the Pope loves him. There's one bit when he goes to the Vatican to give him a Poland shirt. Jerzy like goes to him. We are here in Vatican City representing Polish football. This is our humble gift. The Holy Father is always our number one. The Pope looked at the shirt and nodded. He didn't say anything. Okay, cool.
Yep.
He can't exactly wear it though, can he? What's he going to do with it?
Just put it on over the way in the Pope mobile. Yeah.
It's a very special Easter service today from the Pope.
My glittery Poland shirt. Moving away from the Pope, he never forgets an award he's won. So I want to play a little game with you. I'm going to go through some of the awards that Jerzy has won, and you're going to tell me if it's a real award or not. According to his book, did Jerzy win this? The trophy for best signing of the year.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I think
that
he did
rings
win
a bell,
that.
But it might be herd mentality.
Okay, James, when do you think he won this?
Fire Node.
Yeah, I would think it's fire.
I thought it was before that. He won a really crap one.
Well, first of all, it doesn't sound like a real. I've never heard of that award.
No.
But it's true. He wins it when he first moved to Liverpool, apparently.
Oh, really? Yes. Signing of the year.
Oh, yeah, because he was like 5 million or something, really. But something.
Yeah, and I've never seen anything said. It's probably like some tiny little publication.
He seems to be very obsessed with like media, like
yes,
how the media talks about him. It, that sounds like something where they'd be like, oh, it's like Jerzy Dudek is the signing of the season. He was like, yes, okay.
Yeah,
that's a trophy. Make one up.
He Googled loads of things until he got to that bit. I was like, oh, I'm signing the season, apparently. Ignore all those ones I was worse saying this season. The Zupa or Goka, did he win this or did he not?
No, because you knew how to pronounce it.
Oh,
that's a good way.
The shade.
You're right, because that, it means cucumber soup in Polish. So.
How do you know how to say that?
James spent the whole of yesterday practicing how to say cucumber
Zupa
soup.
Or Goka. Zupa or Goka.
Zupa or Goka. Zupa or
Goka. The Alan Hardaker trophy, does he win it or not? Anyone heard of the Alan Hardaker trophy?
Isn't that what
that
they
doesn't
give
mean it's not really. Maybe there's loads in there.
It's true.
Isn't that what they give the Edinburgh Comedy Award winners as the Malcolm Hardy?
What are we saying, true or false?
I'm going to say true.
False.
James? Never heard of it.
It's true.
Yes.
It's Man the Match in League Cup final, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Well, as he describes it, being the best player on the pitch in a cup final between Liverpool and Man United.
Very specific.
I googled it and that isn't what it is. Number four, Polish Rear of the Year. Did he win it?
No.
No, he would definitely have made a chapter about that.
That's true. Yeah. Although Lee Croft from Darren Huckabee's book. But it should be a shoo-in for that. Fantastic ass. This one, did he win something called... Did he enter the Club of Remarkable National Team Players?
He did,
he
yes!
He did do that. Yes, he did.
Because I remember reading that and being like, yeah, that is the stupidest title of anything I've ever heard.
I googled this and it is not real. he did write it. It's in the book. But he says it's something, apparently if you play 60 games for your national team, you get entered into the Club of Remarkable National Team Players.
Hang on.
No evidence on the internet.
Wait, did someone like Katie Hopkins him? And send him for like, a fake award?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
But they played the full match for him.
He played in the pitch 35 minutes. They were laughing at him behind his back. He thinks he's in the Club of Remarkable Players.
Wait till he puts it in his autobiography, then we'll tell him.
Is one of the awards he mentions 8 out of 10 in the local Buenos Aires newspaper for a pre-Olympics friendly?
Yes, it is! It actually is! Because he says, some of the Argentinian players got 6 out of 10.
Booking.com's Hotel Review of the Year.
He deserves that.
He does.
If you're
that.
Listening, Booking.com.
He's like a gold tier level.
Yeah.
And finally, the most coveted prize in football, the Darren Huckabee's boot. obviously, you can only win that if you're Darren Huckabee and score one of the greatest goals of your career against Nottingham Forest. As we all know from the Darren Huckabee. Go back and listen. Guys, let's move on to Liverpool. There's one thing, just to kick it off, the Liverpool thing. My favourite character is brought into the book just as we talk about, just as we go into Liverpool. There's some drama before he arrives and we meet my favourite character, who's called our very sensitive uncle, Yanis. and his wife says, Eric, he's crying. He heard them say on the radio, your Liverpool move is off as you've not passed the medical. What a sensitive man.
I feel like there were other things going on in Yanis' life. <Yeah. laughs> That couldn't have been the only thing. Oh, it's so weird.
He doesn't come up again. His description of him as my very sensitive uncle.
that whole section is very weird because he talks about how close he was to moving to Arsenal. And I didn't know that. I really didn't know.
No.
I mean, imagine it could have been Arsenal in the Champions League final with...
But they did get in the Champions League final the year after.
Shut me up.
And did they win?
No, they lost. They lost to Barcelona.
What a terrible shame.
Yeah, it's terrible. But he doesn't move, and then it sort of like it scars him for a bit. Yeah. Like Liverpool say, we're interested, and he's like, I will not believe you until I am actually in the club signing the contract because I've been burnt before, okay? Aww. My very sensitive uncle cannot take this anymore.
You're going to kill Uncle Yanis.
Until he's in the helicopter.
Do you want blood in your hands?
When was the helicopter? Who was he signed for?
What helicopter?
You need to reread this book.
I didn't read it one time. He's guessing all this stuff happened.
He gets helicoptered in. He takes a plane and he's like, this is incredible. Then he takes a helicopter and he's like, oh, this is fine. And he gets helicoptered into Feyenoord. And he says, whatever the pilot says, whatever you do, don't wave, okay? Don't get out and wave. He's like, I don't know, I might wave. And then he gets off out of the plane and then goes to wave and then sees that there are massive blades above him.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, like, oh, they wouldn't have liked a player without hands, would they? You're like, yeah, Jersey. You nearly sliced your hands off, stupid, clumsy
idiot.
That is
like someone who hates slicing so much.
Yeah.
That whole section's like a scene out of Naked Gun or something. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, don't wave! Whoa.
Our new goalkeeper, ladies and gentlemen. but he moves to Liverpool.
You love all the dialogue in this. Oh my god.
I love the dialogue when Rafa Benitez has signed a new goalkeeper for Liverpool, the team that we're talking about.
Yep.
And he calls him into his office, and it's just really weird, like, fizzing dialogue. Rafa Benitez says, it doesn't mean that I'll let you go. What will my role be? You don't buy a player for so much money to leave him on the bench. Okay, it is true. Pepe will be my number one at the start, but I will look at him for a while to see how he settles and plays. Keep working hard. There will be plenty of games for you in the League Cup and FA Cup. No offence, but I'm not happy to just play in the Cups. I want to play in the World Cup next summer. If I don't play for Liverpool, I might not get to play for Poland. It is very important to me. I understand. 2 days ago, Scott came in and said the same. He's not happy to be third choice. I told him perhaps he will get to play in the cup games.
That's Scott Carson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can just imagine a pause there as Dudek. So I might not even get to play in the League Cup. The situation is clear then. There's no point in talking about it if you can't even guarantee me games in the League Cup. And you imagine now he's walking towards the door. Jersey, wait! I really like your professional approach. You're a true professional. I don't have any problems with you. It's the troublemakers I want to get rid of. That's why I paid out the rest of Lucy's contract. I don't need people like him, but I want you to stay. Should I look for a new club or will you take care of
Oh, wow. This is great.
It's and with award season going on.
Oh, yeah.
Your portrayal of Jersey Dudek.
Yeah. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. Like Casablanca
the
in
the
here.
Pronunciation yeah. is, yeah. It's just wonderful. It's just, it really fizzes that point. I really love it.
Some of the greatest drama we've ever had in this show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm very, very impressed.
I recommend you watch the video version.
yeah, really.
Some real rewarded emotion. Viewing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could have only been better if he headbutted his way out of the office at the end. Straight through the glass, just kept walking.
I want to leave! Bam!
My favourite bit of dialogue at one point is when he's having some pre-match banter with John Dahl Thomason and Clarence Seedorf for AC Milan. And it's like the nicest pre-match banter ever. They're kind of like sussing each other out.
They're about to play in the biggest match of any of their lives.
Yep.
They're playing in the Champions League final.
So what about tomorrow? I asked Seedorf. We have a good technical team, replied Seedorf. So do we, says Jersey. It should be a good fair game on a great pitch. I started to tease them. Let's play fair, but we have to win. That's not teasing. What world is that?
That's like confrontation, like back when he's talking to Duffel or whatever his name
yes.
is.
He's gone soft in his old age.
He really
Definitely.
Has.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, you know, headbutting
Knuckle
that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Behind John Dahl Thomas and the concrete. That's how we do it in Poland.
Yeah.
The Champions League stuff, I mean, a lot of it's dedicated to that. I mean, we all know the situation, so we don't have to go into much. But I was quite interested by... I found it quite fascinating, all the depth they go into learning penalties and what directions they go.
That was really interesting.
And six then, squares.
Yeah, which is, so they divide the goal into six spaces, and then on the sideline he gets the goalkeeping coach Paco. And Scott Carson to help each other out. They do hand signals to him.
And apparently, like, Rafa Benitez would say, hey, Messi, where would he shoot to Jersey Dudek? And then he'd say, six!
Yes.
As if it's their own little secret code.
It's really interesting. And then, with no explanation, after the penalty shootout, and he saved three of them, he reveals that he ignored the instructions for most of them. I didn't say why.
That's so weird. Yeah. This is what I mean about Jersey being completely unknowable.
Because
he sets that whole thing up, and then Rafa Benitez is like, why did you ignore all
bit.
Of our...
I love that bit. They're celebrating
on
the pitch. They've just won. It's like such an amazing final, and then they're just like smiling to the crowd, and Rafa Nixon is like, why did you not listen to me?
But it is really weird. It's sort of... Because in my head, and I don't know how true this is, James, I always thought the halftime talk was supposed to be incredible. Like, really, really good.
No, it's...
But it's just in the book, it comes across as like...
A bit of a shambles.
As a complete shambles. Yeah. It's like, you know, Bill Shankly comes out of the grave and starts being like, come on, lads, do it for Liverpool! Do it for Liverpool! But instead it's like, Steve Finnan's going to be coming off, or Jimmy Troy, we're not sure. Okay, here we go. Here's my talk. And then it, like, an alarm goes off. They go out onto the pitch again. You're like, okay, fine, see what happens.
Remember the squares. Remember the squares.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. It's so weird.
So you guys had the Kindle version, right?
Yeah.
Wait, did you? Because you won't have seen this. This really.
Oh,
I wonder if this
the pictures.
This little.
Are we going to the picture section?
No. Oh. It's this. This is like no other book we've ever read. I wonder if we can show the camera. Uh-huh. Look at this little.
The little guy.
It's his.
Oh no, I do have that in my Kindle thing.
I have.
Oh really?
That's so cool.
Yeah, but
at the end of the chapter,
it,
I can see him moving.
Yeah, I can see him moving, but it's not as good as that. That's a flip chart.
Yeah, it's a flip.
No way. So if you change the page in the book,
that's so cool.
He dives throughout.
And if you look closely, like I showed my brother last night, it's his. Penalty saves in 2005.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's amazing.
That's a great detail.
What a great thing to bring
up on a podcast.
We gave
Natasha one clap. Let's give two claps to Jersey.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
That is a nice detail.
That is a great touch. Let's do the dramatic reading for this week.
Yeah.
We feeling dramatic?
Yeah.
I know the Champions League final was an anticlimax.
I feel like you just wasted all your drama.
I know. Yeah. I really did. I shot my wad
you
of drama.
Used your creative juices.
Yeah.
Well, I can always go back and put some dramatic music under that if you'd like.
No, that's fine.
It doesn't need it.
Doesn't need it.
Let's not cheapen it.
No, don't. Don't cheapen it.
Can someone cue the dramatic music first? Natasha, you do the honours, please.
What would you like?
You need to
for
say
me?
The magic words. Cue dramatic music under.
Cue dramatic music. Duh.
Whoa! Here we go.
Incredible.
We're in.
That was the best anyone's ever done.
Oh fuck!
By the way, the title of this week's dramatic reading is "Jersey Dudek loses his Darth Vader mask." Craig Bellamy. Oh, and it starts off the way all great stories start.
Craig Bellamy was, of course, the life and soul of any party.
Oh, God.
Of course. Craig Bellamy was, of course, the life and soul of any party, and I had a bit of an adventure with him at Christmas 2006. There's a tradition at Liverpool that you attend Christmas parties in fancy dress.
Yes. Tradition at Liverpool.
Yeah.
A Liverpudlian tradition. Not an everywhere tradition.
And some of the lads wore amazing costumes. And as you all know, as the list go on, some are much less amazing than others. Stevie went as a punk rocker, Stevie being Stephen Gerrard.
Sure.
Dirk Coit was dressed as Superman.
Brilliant.
Harry Kuehl came as Shane Warne.
Which I so badly want to see, because is that like...
Googled it, there are no photos.
Isn't that like, he's got like sun cream lotion on his nose or something?
Is he going as Shane Warne the cricketer, or Shane Warne the like the gambler? Shane Warne during the Elizabeth Hurley years? There are lots of versions.
Oh yeah, and Sammy Hoopier was dressed as Elizabeth Hurley. Robbie Fowler was dressed as Saddam Hussein. Classic Robbie. Louis Garcia was Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch. And Peter Crouch turned up as a giant parrot. Which I think is mentioned. Jermaine Pennant's book, I think. Yeah. Some of the younger lads also arrived dressed as a family from Coronation Street.
What?
I love the idea like Steve Warnock and Igor Biscay.
Like, generic
a, like Jack and Vera Duck.
And they were like, oh, I thought we were supposed to... Okay, cool. We're not all doing Coronation Street?
Myself and Jermaine Pennant went for a Star Wars theme. He was Chewbacca, and I hired a Darth Vader costume, including a lightsaber. Which would be a very incomplete costume without it. It only arrived from London about 2 hours before the party. That's the first bit of drama.
Okay.
And when we got there, the paparazzi were waiting outside Aldo's place, a bar that was owned by former Liverpool player John Aldridge. During the party, prizes were awarded for the best costumes, and both myself and Pepe Reina... Wait, one. And Pepe was dressed as someone from a horror movie.
Non-descript.
No more specific.
Who was it? I'll come back to that. I'll find out. I'll definitely come back and change that. And then
after,
he just left.
After like 500 pages of just the most detailed stories about Gornick and the mining country.
It doesn't matter. It was someone from a horror film. Get over it. We were having a great night, but when it was time to go home, the helmet was missing. I couldn't find it anywhere. So went home wondering what I would tell the hire company. But it was returned the next day by a taxi driver who had taken Craig Bellamy home after the party. He told me the full story of him and he promised not to tell Craig. He didn't, but he wrote it in the book. Bellas, it's a terrible nickname, had stolen my helmet, even though he'd attended the party dressed as an evil jester.
To be fair, stealing Darth Vader's helmet is something an evil jester would do.
It's very on brand. The only way to avoid the paparazzi, he thought, was to leave in his Darth Vader helmet and jump into a cab. The taxi set off and Bellas fell asleep, but during the journey, he woke up with the helmet still on and felt disoriented. What the F is this on my head? But he said to the driver, also, Joe Tiddick's not here for this moment, so how does he know this stuff's happening?
And he said at the beginning, I had an adventure with Craig Bellamy. This is two separate adventures.
That's true. What the F is this on my head, he said to the driver, before opening the window and chucking it into the road. The cabbie said it wasn't safe to stop, so I had to have a father and son style chat with Bellas the next day. Craig, I know you were trying to evade the cameras, mate, but you've ruined my costume. We all have to have that chat with our child when we get to our age.
Sit them down. Yeah. You were trying to avoid the paparazzi, so you stole my Darth Vader helmet. I understand, son.
That father-son bit's weird with the Darth Vader connotation. It's like he's done, Craig, I'm your father. And you need to replace the helmet.
I'm going to have to slice off your hand now.
He had no recollection of what happened, but he gave me a couple of £100, and our Christmas party was finally over.
I love the idea that the party's still going on through to the chat.
We can't end this party until he gets that hat back to the hire company. Keep playing Shawaddy Waddy. And that was this week's dramatic reading.
Yeah.
Well done.
Football is a world tight, man.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, Zivi can't just afford to replace
quid for a hat.
Yeah.
You just won the Champions League.
Yeah.
Don't spill beer on it. I've got to take it back tomorrow. guys, who wants to hear what Ken's been up to?
Oh, more than anything.
Always.
Else.
Yes,
anything
please.
Always.
He loves to write chants. He loves to write chants about Norwich players from the noughties.
Yeah.
Previously, what's he done? He did to the tune of Lil Nas X. I love it. No, I'm going to take Grant Holt down to Carrow Road.
Yep. Nice.
Which is good.
Yeah.
He did to the tune of Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes' Senorita. I love it when you call me Leroy Lita. That's just... I think basically that killed him with Norwich. So the good news is he's back with a new team. And it's the team who replaced Norwich in the Premier League. So Norwich came 19th in the Premier League in 2004-05.
thrilling. It's a real Jersey Dudek story, right?
Wigan
here.
Athletic. I think that's a good thing, because Wigan Athletic have got a lot of cult hero players.
Yeah, definitely.
Players.
Loads of players.
To the tune of Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Wanna Have Fun. Do I sing it?
No, just...
Yes.
Yeah.
Please.
When the final whistle's gone, there'll be goals from Connor Salmon. Oh, goals from Connor Salmon.
I really want to do that. That's what they really want.
Salmon.
When the final whistle's gone.
Oh, goals from Connor Salmon.
Oh, goals from Connor Salmon. Good stuff.
What do we think?
Yeah.
I love Connor Salmon. I love Connor Salmon too. He's still playing, you know, in Scotland.
Yes, he played for like Kilmarnock and Hibs and stuff, didn't he?
He's still going.
Doesn't agree with Jersey Dudek very much, though.
In Russia, they eat him three times a day. Let's go on to the final section. Madrid and his international career and what he does afterwards.
It's so weird, this section.
Yeah.
It's really,
he plays
it's
12
really
times
strange.
In 4 years for Real Madrid.
Especially since initially he's like, oh, well, I could have gone to Real Madrid, but I said, no, I want to play.
Yeah, I want to play
I'm only
Real
33.
Yeah.
And they went, all right, you can play for us, but you're going to have like 50% pay. He's like, I'll go to Madrid. It's cool. That's cool. That's it. I don't have to play.
He does win an award, though, again, as he obviously mentions. He wins Man of the Match, apparently, when Real Madrid lose 4-0 to a third division team. For keeping the score down to 4. Bollocks. That's not true.
That couldn't be true.
Well done for only letting this team two divisions below the mighty Real Madrid not score more than four goals against.
He did really well there, Joe.
And then some of his notes about the players in the section is weird as well. He says about Gabriel Heinze, the only thing he remembers, really, is how Heinze once told him they ship meat around Argentina in ambulances.
I really like that.
You would remember that, though, if someone told you that.
Imagine if Gabriel Heinze said, like, a sentence to you and it was just that.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know how they ship meat in Argentina? Ambulances. Cool, thanks, Gabriel Heinze.
He talks about his kids at one point, and this got a bit ominous towards the end. He had one child in 1 year, 2006, I think there was, and then... He really wants his other daughter, who he's going to have straight away, who's due to be born in January 2007.
Yes.
He really wants to have her in 2006.
Yeah.
And he kind of seems to force the birth of her.
Yeah, he does.
His wife was due to give birth around January the 5th, but we thought it'd be better that both girls are born in the same calendar year. Why? So Natalia arrived on December 28th by caesarean section.
Yeah.
I assisted with the birth wearing a surgical gown.
Is this related to that earlier, do you want a girl? Is that related to that?
Oh!
It's just some guy who comes from the future. He's probably like, do you want a girl in the same calendar month? Do you want this? No, leave me alone.
Guys,
his poor wife, though. I mean,
let's mention his wife.
Yeah,
shout out to her.
Mirella.
Yeah.
Because her statements are very sad.
They are
like,
so
sad. In isolation, they make such tragic reading. And then he makes her have a bloody baby a week early just so he can have her in the same year.
For no reason.
He slices his wife open. He loves slicing things, man.
He hates slicing fruit. He loves slicing women.
Slicing vaginas. I can say vaginas, it's fine. You can't, I can.
We never say that.
We've never said vagina on this podcast.
Oh no, you don't slice a vagina, do you?
Either you slice the tummy, yeah. You don't know much about women's bodies.
What's that other one? A peri... Oh, I'm not saying that.
No, thank you.
Peri Groves?
Episode 2, Peri Groves. We've had to perform an emergency Peri Groves.
Episiotomy, that's the word I was looking for.
I think I found
that. No, I was just gonna say, is that why you didn't finish medical school? I think that's clear.
Yes.
Well, on that unhappy note, let's play this week's quiz.
Oh no.
Guys, you got to shout out your name to answer a question.
Okay.
This week the names I've given you. You're named after some of the costumes from the Liverpool costume party, a traditional Merseyside tradition. Natasha, you're Chewbacca, as played by
Excellent.
Jermaine Pennham. Jack, you're a giant parrot, as played by Peter Crouch. And James, you're Saddam Hussein. Question number one, name any of the materials used in Jersey's first gloves.
A giant parrot.
That wasn't included. Yeah.
So I'm going to go duct tape.
No, but I'm guessing you did use some tape, but no.
Gardening gloves?
No, you had your go.
Oh,
yeah, Chewbacca, gardening gloves. He steals them,
doesn't
he?
His dad's work gloves. Yeah, okay, I'll give
you
that.
Natasha. Oh,
yeah.
Damn you, Chewbacca. The intense rivalry between Chewbacca and a giant parrot continues unabated.
Anyone else? Any guesses?
Doesn't he stuff them with something?
He does.
He stuffs them with hay?
His hay gardening stuff. He's not making a like a scarecrow.
Yeah. I'm sure he stuffs them with something.
Okay, I'll tell you what he does. I used to play on my dad's work gloves because one pair of them had a rough surface on the palm to get more grip. They were too big for me, so I sewed part of my shoes into them. I also tried to attach the surface of a table tennis bat to some gloves to give more grip, but it wouldn't glue on. I drew logos such as Adidas on it.
I remember the logos bit, yeah.
Yeah, you could have said that, but you didn't. What is John Anna Reese's nickname?
Oh, Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
Ginge.
Yes.
Damn it to hell.
That's one for Saddam Hussein. What was Jibril Cissé wearing when he arrived subtly to a Liverpool airport?
Oh, a giant parrot.
Yep.
He looked like a giant panther.
That's it. He was dressed like a panther.
There we go.
He even had a matching hat.
Which was made out of a panther,
cute.
I guess.
And finally, you've all got one so far, so this next question is all played for. Last question. Who still owes Jerzy Dudek a pack of golf balls? Oh, he stumped him.
A giant parrot.
Yep.
Julio Baptista.
It's Julio.
Yeah. That's what I was going to
say. I win.
The giant parrot wins. Saddam Hussein loses once again.
The giant parrot beats Saddam Hussein once more.
Guys, leaderboard, can you give me a quick rating out of 10?
First half, 7 out of 10.
Yep.
Second half, 3 out of 10.
Oh, so a 5 overall.
Yeah.
Jack?
I'm probably going to go 5 as well.
Okay.
It was...
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Chat about it for an hour. James?
I'll give it a 6. Thanks for the memories.
Oh, for God's sake. The Liverpool bias.
Oh, but that's the Liverpool
You've
bias.
Switched this series.
It's a 5.
Last series, you were harsh as anything, even if they pay for Liverpool.
But it's Jersey. It's 2005. Come on, you guys.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Well, I haven't actually given my opinion on the book, so I quite enjoyed it sometimes. no one cares what I think.
What did you think, James?
I didn't enjoy the first half, I enjoyed the second half more. After the Champions League final, weirdly, I was the opposite.
I liked
the beginning of his life and then the end of it, but yeah, wow.
The end of
his life and the end of his life.
Much like the Champions League
final. I'm going to give it a 6 as well. So overall, that's 22 divided by 4, that's 5.5. Not great.
Middling.
So, but he's the first and last on our leaderboard for the second series.
Yeah.
Because the leaderboard refreshes.
Yeah.
Anyone has any thoughts on this? If you've read it or want to read along, message us reviews. Follow us at Footy Book Club on Twitter, Football Book Club on Instagram. Review the podcast, subscribe. Any last words from anyone?
Do you know they transport meat with through ambulances in Argentina?
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, James Baldwin, Natasha Daniels, and Jack Bernhardt. It was produced and created by James Bug. Thanks to Jerzy Dudek for writing the book. But I know what you're asking. What are they up to now? Well, Jerzy has gone to spend his days playing golf, rally driving, that's true, both are in the book, and spamming Booking.com with hotel reviews. Craig Bellamy has since stolen Jerzy's lightsaber and is now just a cape off a full costume. Jerzy's sensitive uncle Yanis cried when he heard this story. The Pope died, sad, but we got a new one, hooray! No idea what he thinks of Jerzy though, and Gabby Heinzer now ships fruit and veg in a police car. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.